If you agree with our strong stand for biblical truth, we invite you to partner with us through the Worldview Weekend Foundation. Thank you for considering making a tax-deductible contribution today or becoming a regular monthly contributor at worldviewweekendfoundation.com. That's worldviewweekendfoundation.com. Thank you.
Faith, spiritual values, moral issues, government, economy, education, work, responsibility. What we think about these depends on our worldview. Now, BCY America presents Worldview Weekend Radio with Branham House.
Welcome. Glad you are with us today. Well, Dr. Whitcomb is supposed to join us today. We have a lot of questions prepared. Tomorrow we have Richard Bennett on. He was a Catholic priest for many years, came to salvation through Christ, faith alone, through grace and faith alone. When he was about 40, I think about 47, 48 years old, somewhere in there, and was reading a little bit about him last night. I've known about him for a while, but reading, I shouldn't say I was reading. My mother is in town with my father, and she was reading to me about him because she's aware of him as well. And so she was reading to me some of his story and his testimony. So we'll have Richard on, Bennett on with us on Wednesday. Thursday, it's Jesse Johnson, and then Friday is Middle East Updates. Fed converted the cassette tape. I have three cassette tapes, thanks to Jewel Grew. Three cassette tapes of Mike Bickle speaking back in the middle 80s, 1980s. And I've had those now taken from cassette tape onto, made them into CDs or actually MP3s. Over the weekend, I'll be grabbing audio clips of Mike Bickle speaking and saying some things that I think will help us to understand his theological worldview, because many of you routinely ask me for more and more information, even as someone did who called into the program last week, on IHOP, International House of Prayer. So I'm still continuing to bring you guys information on that as well, and that will be some things to look forward to next week. Now, we did finalize last night some the back cover of the new book, Religious Trojan Horse. Here's the back cover description. The back cover description: certain men have crept in unnoticed. That's the headline on the back cover. Let me just read to you what we've written. Hopefully you guys like it. Hopefully it gives you a good overview of what the book's really about. You know, when you try to take 126,000 words and reduce it into a back cover to make people interested in, you know, reading the book, that's no small feat. And so you end up working sometimes for several days, as we did in this case, on my writing the back cover copy and then giving it to my editor, and he threw a few sentences in here and there, this is no small feat to try to capture. What am I trying to tell you in 126,000 words? But I've only got a small back cover to tell you about it. But here's what the book back cover will say. Branham House echoes the warning of Jude 3, as urgent now as the day Paul first wrote the words almost 20 centuries ago. Godless worldviews have been eroding Europe's and America's Judeo-Christian heritage for years. But now the problem has taken a dire turn for the worse. While false teachers have been around since biblical times, infiltration of the church has increased alarmingly, just as Jesus predicted in Matthew 24. Well-known evangelical and pro-family leaders have joined in events, alliances, and common causes with a shocking array of unbiblical partners. As a result, many contemporary, quote, Christian, end quote, leaders embrace and encourage the false Jesus and false gospels of Mormonism, the New Age movement, Roman Catholicism, Word of Faith teachers, the New Apostolic Reformation, Eastern mysticism, and the spiritual left. Our bitterest philosophical enemies have made it past the gatekeepers of both mainstream and evangelical Christian thought, and anti-Christian worldviews have assembled within the walls of our churches. As a result, hostile forces wreak havoc in the minds and hearts of believers who are caught unaware. In Religious Trojan Horse, Branham exposes the outrageous breach of integrity in the church, compromised by popular and dangerous teachings that are anything but scriptural. With thorough and precise documentation, every claim and accusation, Brandon shows exactly who is to blame and how. In this book, you'll discover, and here's the bullet points of really what this book's about, how the philosophical and eschatological of false religions have infiltrated evangelicalism. Okay, that's the first bullet point. Second bullet point. The saboteurs who have convinced 21st century evangelicals to embrace and promote heresies of the social gospel, dominion theology, ecumenicalism, mysticism, social justice, and communitarianism. I guess at this point, the people reading the back cover who have never read this book are needing a dictionary. But anyway, but there is going to be a glossary of terms in the back of the book. That's the last thing I have to work on now is the glossary of terms. The third bullet point that gives you the overview of the book. The real and present danger that a false church has brought soft persecution to biblically committed Christians with worse to follow. The next bullet point. The potential for an apostate church to become the catalyst for the coming New World Order. Next bullet point. How the harlot church of Revelation 17 will do the bidding of a one world leader. Next bullet point. The threat that mainstreaming a blend of signs and wonders with mystical Christianity has already conditioned unaware sheeple to accept a one world leader. The reason I put that in there is, as you guys know, that the Bible clearly states that there will be counterfeit miracles, signs, and wonders that the Antichrist will perform. All right, Dr. Whitcomb's with us, so we'll go to him. Let me finish the bullet points here. That the pro-family industry and its culture war have been an easy mark for infiltration by enemies of the gospel. And I go into why that is the case. And, of course, the bottom line is because many of them are not basing their public policy, their family policy, on biblical theology and doctrine. Because when you do that, of course, then you get into the exclusivity of Jesus Christ. You get into the inerrancy of Scripture. You get into a lot of things that keep you from having a big tent. The last bullet point, how Rick Warren, Tony Blair, Joel Osteen, C. Peter Wagner, Glenn Beck, Miguel Gorbachev, the Rockefellers, Mike Bickle, Rick Joyner, Peter Drucker, Jim Wallis, Tony Campolo, Kenneth Copeland, Creflo Dollar, Benny Hinn, and others have assisted in building the religious Trojan horse. And then the last two paragraphs, the book, back cover, Brandon explains how the world's religions are converging through a syncretism now supported by evangelicals. His revelations will shock you at first, then you'll likely be tempted to despair. And make no mistake, the situation is grim, yet Brandon offers hope simply by opening your eyes to what is happening and what still can be done. He charts the path on which we can return to truly biblical teaching, preaching, and raising of our children. Certain men are indeed creeping in unnoticed. But God is still in charge and working decisively through those who will not exchange any of the truth for a lie. Religious Trojan Horse will help you become one of the ones that stand against the invaders. All right, so that'll be the back cover copy, and we're moving quickly. And some of you keep asking on Facebook and email, when can you start your pre-order? You want to do pre-orders? Some of you do. That's fine. We'll have that available for you probably next week. All right. Well, I was just going to do an open line program, but thankfully we've got Dr. Whitcomb on with us. And so, Dr. Whitcomb, welcome to the program. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, sir. It's a joy to be with you again.
We're glad to have you with us. We were getting a busy signal, so you must have been busy earlier.
Yes, we had to lie down and rest and forgot to put the phone back on.
That's actually what I said. I said, I bet you they don't know the phone's off the hook.
But it's better to sleep before the program than during the program.
Well, that usually helps as well.
Right, praise the Lord.
Glad you're up and around. All right, here's the first question. Number one, do you believe that there are children in hell? Or, and I guess what they're really asking is, do you believe in an age of accountability? This is where we get often. I know where I come down on it. I would highly recommend, and I don't know if you've read it, Dr. Whitcomb, I would highly recommend the book by Dr. John MacArthur, Safe in the Arms of God. This is a biblical analysis of what happens when children who are beneath the age of accountability pass away. I'd love to have your take. I know what Dr. John MacArthur believes from that book, but what do you say, Dr. John?
Well, let's listen to what Jesus says. Matthew 18, verse 5. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. Verse 10, I tell you, do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that their angels in heaven continually behold the face of my Father who is in heaven. Verse 14, thus it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. And then Matthew chapter 19, verse 26, looking upon them, he said, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Now listen to verse 13. Some children were brought to him so that he might lay hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, let the children alone, do not hinder them from coming to me, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. The age of accountability only God knows, but we must not take unfair advantage of this promise, this provision, this gracious plan of God for children, and not tell them who Jesus is and pray for them that they might, when they do make a choice, that they'll know who to choose. Jesus, who saved them, rose again from the dead to prove that, and made total eternal provision for them.
Here's number two. If there are no animals in heaven, does that contradict Jesus and the saints coming out of heaven on white horses? There must be white horses in heaven at one point before Christ comes back after the tribulation.
Yes.
We got several on this one after our last program when we were talking about animals not in heaven. So this gives us a chance to clarify that one.
Right. It's interesting how often in the book of Revelation, great truths are stated in symbolic language. Not every time, but often. For example, in that same 19th chapter of Revelation that talks about, behold, I saw heaven open in a white horse, and he who sat upon it called faithful and true, that's Jesus. The same paragraph goes on to say this. Listen carefully. From his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it he might smite the nations and rule them with a rod of iron. Nobody takes that literally. A metal sword doesn't come out of the mouth of Jesus. It means what? His word. The word of God is living and powerful. And I believe that horse represents military power that's invincible, symbolic of his military power as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and ruler of the world.
All right. When we come back, we'll get to the other list of questions. And again, if you have a question that you'd like Dr. John to answer, all you got to do is email me, info@worldviewweekend.com. Put in the subject line, Ask Dr. John, and we'll send it over to him and add it to our next program, Lord willing, 2 weeks from now. So just again, info@worldviewweekend.com, subject line, Ask Dr. John, and include in your email the question. We'll be right back with more of Ask Dr. John right here on VCY America, Worldview Weekend Radio. Hello, I'm Brandon House, and I want to invite you to join the Worldview Weekend Situation Room that is now over $8,000 in resources. If you were to buy all of the resources available at the retail price, it would total $8,000. But you have access to all $8,000 and growing in resources for only $59.95 a year. You can join for 1 year or multiple years. It's up to you. Check it out, won't you, at situationroom.net, situationroom.net. You'll get this radio broadcast, Worldview Weekend Radio, going back to the summer of 2007, over 1,400 radio shows. You also have access to the Worldview Weekend Radio program, Second Hour, the second hour of the Worldview Weekend Radio program that is for Situation Room members only. A few times each month, I do a second hour of this broadcast that's for members only. You can also watch over 140 of our Worldview Weekend DVDs on demand. The DVDs are available inside the Situation Room long before they ever go on to a DVD format. You also have access to all my books in an e-book format that you can download as PDFs to add to your Kindle or to your Nook. Lots of value inside the Situation Room, including the audiobook of Grave Influence. Hope you'll check it out. SituationRoom.net makes a great gift for someone else as well. SituationRoom.net. By the way, one of the benefits to joining the Situation Room is not only having access to over $8,000 in resources and growing, but it's a big part of our general operating budget. We use a lot of bandwidth making this show available for free for 14 days. After that, it does roll into the Situation Room, and we do want to continue making it available for free for 14 days to anyone. But to do that, we've got to cover the massive amount of bandwidth we're using, and it costs us many thousands of dollars a year. Not only the bandwidth, but just producing this show costs a lot of money, the phone lines and all that goes with it. And one way we cover all that is through our general operating budget, and the Situation Room memberships are a big part of our general operating budget. So please help your family out by having access to great biblical worldview resources, but you're also helping us when you join the Worldview Weekend Situation Room. Full details and to join, you can do so at situationroom.net. SituationRoom.net, where members understand the times through a biblical worldview. Hello, I'm Brandon House, and I want to invite you to partner with us through the Worldview Weekend Foundation.
You can make a tax-deductible gift today at our website, worldviewweekendfoundation.com. That's worldviewweekendfoundation.com. The Worldview Weekend Foundation helps us put on free biblical Worldview Weekend rallies all over the country. It is also through your partnership, through the Worldview Weekend Foundation, that we're able to broadcast this program on many stations throughout America. It's also because of your partnership with us through the Worldview Weekend Foundation that we're able to broadcast our weekly national television show, the Worldview Weekend Hour, on television nationwide at primetime on Monday nights at 7 p.m. and again at 11 p.m. Without your partnership through the Worldview Weekend Foundation, many of the things we do just wouldn't even be possible. So would you please consider a tax-deductible contribution today by visiting our website, worldviewweekendfoundation.com. That's worldviewweekendfoundation.com. In fact, you can even set up a monthly contribution that's made automatically. Just go to worldviewweekendfoundation.com, and you can choose to set up an automatic monthly tax-deductible contribution right there on our website. But whether it's a monthly contribution, a one-time contribution, or occasional contribution, we just want to say thank you. Because, again, without you partnering with us, many of the things that we do would not be possible. So thank you for being a partner with us through the Worldview Weekend Foundation. Again, the website is worldviewweekendfoundation.com. Welcome back to the program. Glad you're with us. Dr. Whitcomb, during the break, was telling me that next month he'll be 88. Dr. Whitcomb, what day in June? What's the actual date of your birthday in June?
God willing, June the 22nd.
June the 22nd. All right. Well, I better write that down because I don't want to make sure I don't have you on the program on the 22nd and not tell you if I have you.
Right.
I don't know what the 22nd falls on this year, but if it's a Tuesday and it's your birthday and I don't say happy birthday and acknowledge it, that'd be horrible. But happy birthday in advance and 88 and still going strong and teaching the word. You are a real blessing to our audience. I hope our audience emails over to your website some of the encouraging emails that we get about your programs with us. Our audience really appreciates you, Dr. Whitcomb.
Praise the Lord. That's very encouraging. Thank you.
Here's number three in our list of questions that people have emailed in. I had an experience that was quite troubling. An acquaintance whose loved one died without being saved asked me if I believed they were in heaven. This poor woman was so distraught over the loss and didn't wish to compound her agony, but couldn't say yes. I ended up saying that I didn't know the person's heart, so I couldn't guess. How should people respond in that kind of situation?
You know what? That's very, very difficult. And, of course, we know one thing for sure. God always does the right thing in the right way, at the right time, with the right people. That's what, you know, Abraham was concerned, too. He had his nephew down there in Sodom and Gomorrah. He was sure that his nephew was doing well, serving the Lord down there, winning people to the Savior. And so he said, well, surely, Lord, you're not going to destroy that whole city. And so he said, and Abraham said, now here's the key, shall not the judge of all the earth deal justly? Yes. Now I say, thank you, Lord. If it weren't for you, none of us would be saved at all. There'd be no hope for any of us except for the grace of God shown on that cross of Calvary where he paid the price of the sin of the whole world. Everyone will be dealt with exactly as they deserve. According to their works, the book of Revelation says. So that's one thing we don't need to lose sleep over, whether God knows what he's doing, whether he is a loving, gracious, kind, merciful, wise God. And I just tell people that matter is with the Lord, but the main thing for now is what do you do with him? What is your relationship to him? Not what happened to this loved one or that person over there. What about your relationship to the Savior of the world? That might be an opportunity that never would happen again. Let's move in where God opens doors like that.
You know, this is a very difficult one for people because you think of family members, and I think of some family members, not immediate family members, but you think about extended family members who have passed on, and you wonder, did they know the Lord? You know, and you try to recall conversations that you had, or maybe you ask some older relatives that knew them
better? You know, what about spiritual conversations? Was there any hint that they knew the Lord? Because your heart goes out thinking, am I going to see them again? Do they know the Lord? Are they going to spend eternity in hell? It's very difficult, and that's all the more reason why we need to be bold in sharing the gospel with our loved ones now. You can't share the gospel with someone who's deceased. Share the gospel with someone now. I remember being at a funeral for my grandmother and saying to a relative, don't make me come to your funeral and wonder where you're at. And I remember telling him that just hours after, literally an hour after standing there at my grandmother's funeral, saying to this relative, other relative, do not make me come to your funeral and wonder where you're at. You need to get this squared away. You know the gospel. You've heard the gospel. Please do not make me come to your funeral not knowing where you're at.
Right. And, good response. Excellent response. Praise God. We love people enough to tell them the whole story of how great Jesus really, really is.
Absolutely. So take advantage of it, folks, now, because, again, it's not our responsibility to get them saved. It's our responsibility to share the gospel, and we rely on the Holy Spirit to convict and reveal their sin to them, and then to hopefully have godly soul that produces repentance unto salvation. But it's one thing to go to a funeral and think, well, I shared the gospel. I hope the individual did know Christ. It's another thing to stand there at the funeral and say, I wish I had shared the gospel. I wish I had shared the gospel. At least do it now. You can't do it when they're gone. Let's go to number four. A brother in Christ, this person writing in to us, emailing in for Dr. John, says, a brother in Christ stopped me the other day and proceeded to tell me of all the benefits he's gotten from buying a New Testament that was translated from Aramaic instead of Greek. He said the Greek has mistakes in it. When I spoke to my best friend about this, we thought that because the Bible is the inspired word of God, God wouldn't allow for his children, to be reading a faulty version all these years. This Aramaic translation was only printed in the 1950s, I think he said. Okay, this is an interesting question from a listener. Dr. John?
Of course, this is completely erroneous, because anyone who has studied New Testament background history of the Greek New Testament knows that there are not just hundreds, but thousands of manuscripts that have been discovered in early centuries that are the Greek New Testament that have been put together so carefully by thousands of reverent, careful scholars. God, as this person has said, can't make a mistake. He said, can you imagine God saying, oops, I gave you the wrong Bible? No, it's sort of like Revelation 22 warns us, don't you take away from anything that I've said by saying, well, this is the wrong translation, or this Greek translation, New Testament, is full of mistakes. That's a very, very serious mistake to make. Yes, God's word is absolutely sufficient, adequate, and God says, by the way, and this is important to remember, different passages say the same thing over and over again so that we can't ever miss the message. It's not that one hidden verse out of thousands is the key that makes eternal difference. The whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation is a commentary on itself. Step by step, progressive revelation, God tells us more and more about what he meant by what he said so that we are absolutely sure. By the way, I'd like to say this to people who have that kind of question. No matter what translation you read, you can find the Savior of the world. And I say, be careful about jumping prematurely to conclusions about which translation is inspired.
And we know that if we take all the New Testament manuscripts, partial and complete manuscripts of the New Testament, and compare them, which has been done, there's only half a page worth of difference, and none of them involve any major doctrines. And these are
absolutely very important point. Very important. Praise God. God speaks the truth in such a way that we can know exactly what he meant by what he said.
And these, of course, are manuscripts, which are copies of the original. In the originals, there wouldn't have been any error. But in the manuscripts, which are copies of the originals, there could be some differences. But even in the copies, meaning the manuscript, the copy from the original being an autograph, or what you would call the original manuscript. But in the manuscripts, you compare all the New Testament manuscripts, complete and partial, there is only a half a page worth of difference. None of them involve any major doctrines. I also have read by scholars that if you were to destroy every manuscript, every Bible on the planet, you could recreate the entire New Testament using the writings of the early church fathers, minus like 11 verses. So it is a remarkable book that God has preserved. Would you agree?
Absolutely. God says, I know what I'm doing. Trust me. I know how to communicate the truth. And I say, thank you, Lord. I believe you. I thank you.
And that doesn't mean that today we don't need to be careful in the translations that we pick, that there are some liberal modern translations out there. We need to be careful which we choose. So we're not saying that just any translation is good as another. There are some translations that are more accurate than others. Would that be a fair statement as well, Dr. Whitcomb?
Well, yes. In fact, the so-called liberal translation is not a translation at all. It's an interpretation.
Mm.
It's a reworking of what the Bible actually says. And so that is not an example of a translation at all. Translations mean telling in our language what God meant when he spoke in that language, namely Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. And I say, thank you, Lord. You're the perfect communicator.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been saying something now for a few years. I think Justin Peters has picked up on it. He's using the same line. It's so true. And what I've been saying, and now Justin is echoing that as well, is that some of these modern day liberal versions are not versions of the Bible. They're perversions
right.
of the Bible.
That's a
versions.
huge difference.
They're not versions. They're perversions. All right, number five. The basic question is regarding the rapture. The basic question here regarding the rapture. Most, if not all, mainstream teaching supports a pre-trib rapture. My question was, how was the timing of this event determined? I have asked this question, and he says that he's asked it of different people. I received a response from one ministry in which he simply provided the scripture references he goes by. However, these ministries he wrote to, mention anything about the timing. I responded to him by asking where in the scriptures any sort of timing is mentioned. I have not received a response. Dr. Whitcomb?
Well, believe it or not, the book of Daniel gives us the basic foundation to answer that question, because it says in Daniel 9:24, listen carefully, 70 weeks have been decreed for your people, Daniel, that's the Jews, and your holy city, Daniel, that's Jerusalem, 70 weeks. To finish God's whole program for Israel. Now, we know from Daniel chapter 9 that after the 69 weeks, Jesus, the Messiah who came, was cut off, and apparently, as far as most Jews were concerned, he was finished. The 70th week hasn't happened yet. It's still future. And that 70th week is a seven-year period before the second coming of Christ. Now, here's the point. That 70th week, like the first 69, is exclusively for whom? For the Jews, and for what? For the holy city Jerusalem, not the church. That's where we start with this. Then, of course, we go back to the last book of the Bible, book of Revelation, and God is saying to the seven churches, who are, of course, totally omitted in the whole 70th week of Daniel portion of the book of Revelation. No mention of the church on earth at all. They're in the churches in heaven. But listen to this promise to a true church. Revelation chapter 3, verse 10, because you Philadelphians, have kept the word of my perseverance, I also will keep you from what? The hour of testing. What hour? That hour which is about to come upon the whole world to test those who dwell upon the earth. That time period, the 70th week, the tribulation period, the great tribulation, is a time when the church will not be here. It'll be kept from that time. And that's a promise to all true churches, isn't it? Well, you say, why? Why is the church excluded from that 70th week of Daniel? Why is the church raptured before that final 7 years? Because that time will be a time of the wrath of God upon the earth. You remember Revelation 6? People will call for the mountains to fall on them and the rocks to hide them from what? From the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who is able to stand? God will not allow his bride, his body, his church to experience the wrath of God upon the earth. And there are other explanations that are what we might call valid, clear, biblical inferences that the true church will not be here. It's not a matter of what we deserve. It's a matter of God's plan for his bride, his body, the true church of Jesus Christ.
All right, we'll get started with this next one. We have to enter it and complete maybe on the other side of the break. But here is the number six. According to Galatians 4:6 and other passages, God put his spirit into the heart of a believer. He puts his spirit into the heart of a believer. According to 2 Thessalonians 2:7, this restrainer will be removed at the rapture. If this Holy Spirit is removed along with the believers at the rapture, how can someone become a believer during the tribulation period? That is, if the Holy Spirit is placed into a heart's believer during the tribulation, wouldn't he need to do this earthly universe? Wouldn't he need to be in this earthly universe for that to be possible? I think this is an excellent question, because, and I think I know who asked this, because someone asked it of me at my worldview class, and I said, email that to me and I'll forward it to Dr. Whitcomb. In other words, we do believe the Holy Spirit has to be involved in revealing someone's sin, drawing them, showing them their sin, and then that they might be convicted and then repent and then have that godly sorrow that produces repentance unto salvation. If the Spirit has been removed, how will the Holy Spirit be here to be able to convict people during the tribulation? Because surely there will be people becoming believers during the tribulation. How is this going to be possible if the Spirit has been removed? That's the question for Dr. Whitcomb we'll get to as soon as we come back. More with Dr. Whitcomb. It's graduation time once again, and perhaps you're looking for a good resource to give to that graduate. Why not give them the gift of the hardcover book, Christian Worldview for Students, Volume 1, or Christian Worldview for Students, Volume 2. These are small little hardcover books that are specifically designed and written for the graduate, for that student who's on their way to college. They address the important biblical worldview issues that college students will be facing. So why not give this beautiful gift-size hardcover book, Christian Worldview for Students, and or Christian Worldview for Students, Volume 2. You could also give them a membership to the Situation Room. That's a great gift for any graduate. The Situation Room, with all of the thousands of dollars of resources available on demand. To purchase any of these items to give to that graduate, just simply visit worldviewweekend.com and go into our bookstore. That's worldviewweekend.com, and click on the tab that says bookstore, and you can give the gift of a biblical worldview this graduation season. worldviewweekend.com. Hello, I'm Brandon House. In my second book that came out in 1995, I wrote about the fact that I believe America was going to see hyperinflation. In fact, in that book in the early 90s, I was recommending to my readers that they investigate the idea of purchasing gold and silver to be a hedge against inflation. Here we are in 2012, and I believe that was sound advice then. While I don't give financial advice, I do give financial opinion. And my strong opinion is you need to check out gold and silver. It's been an awesome return the last few years, and I think it's going to continue to be a great return. That is, if you believe that our government is going to continue to not live within its means, that it's going to continue to expand the money supply, going to continue to be involved in quantitative easing, which is purchasing our own debt. If you think that's going to continue as I do, then I think gold and silver is going to continue to be a good investment. However, I highly recommend you do your own research and your own due diligence. In fact, I want to help you do that. That's why I'm going to give you a phone number now, and you can call Swiss America, a company we've been working with for many years. Many of my friends have worked with them. I've been working with them for many years as well. I know many of their employees, including their owner, Craig Smith, quite well. And I'm going to give you a free toll-free number right now where you can call and get a free CD, a free DVD, and a free report to do all your own due diligence. The number is 1-877-864-1072. That's 1-877-864-1072. There's no obligation, no arm twisting. Just call them up. Say, hey, here's my name and my address. Send me, please, the free DVD and the free report so I can do my own due diligence on purchasing gold and or silver. And then I'd encourage you to get out a piece of paper, write down all your questions, and then call back and talk to my friend Wes Peters. Wes will answer all your questions. And when you've had all your questions answered, when you've done all your due diligence, then you can pull the trigger and purchase gold and silver. But this is the way for you to start, by doing your own homework, getting the free DVD and the free report. 1-877-864-1072. 1-877-864-1072. No obligation, so there's nothing to lose, to call and get this DVD and free report today. 1-877-864-1072. Or you can go to worldviewtimes.com and click on the banner for Swiss America and order it right online. That's just worldviewtimes.com and click on the banner for Swiss America. Or call toll-free 1-877-864-1072. To the program. Glad you are with us. All right, let's get to the question, which just remind you, if you forgot, was if the Holy Spirit is removed from the earth because the church is taken out during the tribulation, removed in the rapture, and then the Holy Spirit wouldn't be here during the tribulation, if this is true, how would people become believers during the tribulation? Because don't you need the Holy Spirit to convict people of their sins? Dr. Whitcomb, your answer?
The answer is very simple. Before the church was created, before the Holy Spirit came, you remember, he was promised, I will send him. When the Holy Spirit came and did what? Baptized the church into his body and bride. Before that event, people were saved by the Holy Spirit too, all through the Old Testament, back to the beginning of the world. In fact, that's what Jesus said in John 3, before there ever was a church. He said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. And he said, what do you mean? He said, you must enter the kingdom of God by what? Water, that's the word, and the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. You must be born again, so is everyone born of the Spirit. So from the beginning of the world, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, is the one who convicts, converts, transforms human lives and hearts to bring them to God. But the relationship of the Holy Spirit to the church, the bride and body of Christ, is unique in this age. Spirit baptism, a special, special relationship of born-again Christians to the Lord Jesus Christ by a relationship to the Holy Spirit that had never been known before Pentecost and will not be experienced after the rapture. So during the 70th week of Daniel, millions of people will be saved by the Holy Spirit's convicting work through the two witnesses of Jerusalem. You remember Revelation 11 will preach that word, that gospel. Romans 11, all Israel will be saved. That's after the church is gone. How can they be saved without the Holy Spirit? So we must be very careful. The Holy Spirit will be removed in only one sense, namely in the body and bride of Christ being removed, but the Holy Spirit will continue convicting, converting people all over the world in the tribulation and beyond.
All right. Excellent question. I think that is a good question and one that I think a lot of people have, and thank you for asking it, listener, and thank you for answering it, Dr. John. Number seven, personally, I would refrain from saying God told me and God spoke to me. I have a friend who says that often to both believers and unbelievers. For one thing, a lot of false teachers use that phrase. I don't mind if this is being said to me, but what would be your take when unbelievers hear this and are told by believers that God told them this and told them that? Is this phrase biblical and applicable in our time? I believe my friend who says this is a true Christian. You know, that's one we've talked about here, Dr. John, several times. I believe the Holy Spirit definitely convicts us, maybe even impresses upon us as we're reading our Bible and we're studying and we're praying, Lord, what would you have me to do in this area? Or Lord, who would you have me to minister to this week? And the Holy Spirit may impress upon you the name of someone that you should go visit or call or reach out to, or the Holy Spirit might convict you that, hey, this is someone that you shouldn't make your close friend. You know, the Bible's very clear about the friends we pick, or this is not someone I should have involved in my family business, or whatever it might be. The different ways we as believers come under conviction or have a strong prompting by what we believe to be the Holy Spirit on issues in our everyday life. That's different than someone who's looking for a mystical voice from God. And I think maybe the issue, Dr. Whitcomb, and please, again, feel free to disagree with me, because I will certainly lean toward your years of knowledge of and study of the Bible. But I think what some folks maybe are trying to say is when they say God spoke to me, and of course the Holy Spirit is part of the triune God, they're using terminology that's not meant to be, they never meant an audible voice. They meant simply that as they were praying or studying their Bible, the Lord spoke to them through the study of His Word, or even the Holy Spirit convicted them or something, or placed something on their heart or their mind in regards to someone, or praying for someone, or ministering to someone. And they would say spoke, but they never heard an audible voice. Do you believe that it is acceptable to speak in the terms that I've described? Would these be biblical ways versus this audible, mystical voice?
In the day and age in which we live, I consider that to be a very dangerous thing to say, because there are people that believe that God has new revelation, fresh words that He wants to give to this person or that person, who would say, I had a dream and Jesus said this and that to me. That's very dangerous. Why? Well, listen to Deuteronomy 12:32. God said to Israel, whatever I command you, you shall be careful to do. You shall not add to nor take away from it. Don't add one word to what I've told you now. And by the way, isn't that amazing? That's the way the Bible ends in Revelation 22. If anyone adds to these words, God shall add to him the plagues that are written in the book. Mm-hmm. Now, the point, of course, is this. Anyone can come along and say, God told me this, God said that, and how do you know it's true?
Mm-hmm.
If it doesn't harmonize with exactly what the Bible says, it can't be true. It's automatically false. And I say, Lord, thank you for protecting us from weird, strange, even demonic ideas floating around.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't come from you, even if somebody said, God told me this or God told me that. And I say, be extremely careful in the way you say those things, lest you mislead people into thinking that God has new, additional revelation. Remember Deuteronomy. Remember Revelation. Don't ever do that. Don't add to what God has said. It is complete. It is sufficient. It is adequate. I say, thank you, Lord. You have not spoken in a muffled voice. We know what you meant by what you said.
And I agree wholeheartedly with everything you just said. Now, help me differentiate between what you just said, this strange declarations and the foretelling that people have and these prophecies that they have of foretelling. And as you said, a lot of the strange things that people say versus the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. Help me with that, because that is certainly something that
the Bible tells us basic things that we need to know for our daily life. How to talk to God in prayer, how to love Him, how to thank Him, how to think on Him, set our mind on Him in His finished work on the cross and His resurrection and His ascension to heaven over and over again. But you see, there's a limit to that. I can only believe, rejoice in, think about, focus on things that God said. And I not what somebody said that He said, what God said in what? In the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
When all else fails, open the Bible. Listen to what God says. You say, but it's difficult. God says, trust me. You read my word, I'll tell you what I meant, and I'll guide your life and give you adequate information to know what to do with whom, how, where, and when. And I say, thank you, Lord. I believe that. For these 70 years now that I've known the Savior, I have found His word to be sufficient and adequate for my guidance and to know what to do to help people and to serve Him from day to day.
Okay. And good. Again, I'm gonna push you a little bit on this. Don't mean to. But how do we as Bereans, seeking to be Bereans, wanting to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, how do we test the promptings that we feel are coming from the Holy Spirit in our life? How do we test those things?
The Bereans were more noble even than the Thessalonians, because they did what? They searched the Scriptures daily to see whether Paul was teaching was really true. They didn't say, well, Paul, you said it must be true. No, they compared what he said with what? With what the Scripture, the Bible says. That's the key. That's why they were more noble. And on a solid foundation, they checked, read, believed what the Bible said to verify, confirm that Paul's message was in harmony with the Bible and was therefore true.
Excellent. All right. What is meant, number 8, what is the meaning of wormwood in the Bible? What's that mean?
Well,
we hear that a lot.
A very sad word. The first mention is in Deuteronomy 29. It talks about a very bitter plant. And in Proverbs 5, Amos 6, Jeremiah 9, and Lamentations and so forth, when people reject the Lord, they enter into a very horrible experience of bitterness in their life and heart. And the amazing thing to me is at the end of the world, in the book of Revelation, listen to what's going to happen to the whole human race. Revelation chapter 8, verse 11. And the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch, and fell on a third of the rivers and of the springs of water. And the name of the star is what? Wormwood. And a third of the waters became wormwood. And many men died from the waters because they were made bitter. In other words, God can make fresh things, beautiful things, bitter and horrible in an aspect of what we call judgment upon the world. And even as in one time, you remember in the Old Testament, God said, you just throw a tree into that bitter water and it'll become sweet. Here we have something bitter that makes fresh water bitter. And it's a terrible term all through the Bible. And I say, Lord, help me never to have to experience wormwood in my life. Thank you for your constant care and mercy and your love and grace.
All right. How about this one? Will glorified people be filled with the Holy Spirit in heaven?
Praise the Lord. Listen to this one. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be what? Like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. We'll see Jesus, who will be like Him. Now, in other words, we'll be controlled. That's what filled means. Controlled by the Holy Spirit. Because the third person of the Godhead will not have to work through our sin nature in us anymore. The minute we die or are raptured, we're sinless. And to that extent, we're like Jesus. Of course, we'll never be divine, but we'll be sinless. And in that sense, we'll be controlled by the Holy Spirit in a way we never have been in this life. That's 1 John 3:2. Thank you, Lord, for that precious, blessed promise.
All right. Then the final one, and we'll open up the phone lines. Will all three persons of the Godhead be visible in heaven?
Well, you know, Jesus was sort of sad when the disciples challenged him one time and said, this is Philip, John 14:8. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and that's enough for us. Listen to his response. Jesus said to him, have I been so long time with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. Really? Well, yes, he's the only person of the Godhead who has a human body and a human nature. And so when you turn to the book of Revelation, you find out that the lamp, Revelation 21, of the eternal city will be the Lamb. That's Jesus. Revelation 22:4, they shall see his face, the face of the Lamb. That's Jesus. And so even though we can't see the Father or the Holy Spirit because he has no physical form, never did, never will, we will be totally satisfied. Here's the point. Totally satisfied to see Jesus. We won't say, where's the Father? That question will never be asked. Where's the Holy Spirit? When we see Jesus, we have adequate, total, sufficient, eternal provision for knowing who God really is and what he's like.
Mm. All right. Phone lines are going to be open now. 1-800-347-9829. 1-800-347-9829. Again, some of you don't want to call into the program, and we understand. It's just you just don't want to do it. It makes you nervous for some reason, and you don't want to do it. But you do have a question, and you can always email us that question at info@worldviewweekend.com and put in the subject line, Ask Dr. John, and we'll add it to the lineup for our next program in about 2 weeks. But every 2 weeks, we have Dr. John on with our list of theological questions and Bible questions for him. Again, info@worldviewweekend.com. Put in the subject line, Ask Dr. John. But if you want to get on the phone line, you can do that now. 1-800-347-9829. Get on board. During the break, we will get all these calls up on the board and go right to the calls the rest of the program. 1-800-347-9829. 1-800-347-9829. Dr. Whitcomb's website is whitcombministries.org. whitcombministries.org. You'll also find him on sermonaudio.com. and on Facebook. And you'll find all the links to all of this on his website at whitcombministries.org. I'm Brandon House. This is Worldview Weekend Radio. Our website's worldviewweekend.com. We'll be right back with your calls. I'm pleased to announce the launch of the Worldview Weekend Online Academy. The Worldview Weekend Online Academy is over 85 hours of biblical worldview training for students or adults. Now, this Worldview Weekend Online Academy is completely different from our online Teacher Training Institute. The Teacher Training Institute is for those who want to become an approved biblical Worldview Weekend instructor and receive the curriculum. This course, however, the Worldview Weekend Online Academy, is 85 hours of intense biblical worldview training for students or adults who want to have a more accurate biblical worldview. Some families cannot afford the $600 to $1,000 plus the cost of transportation that many of these worldview camps cost. But Worldview Weekend, which is committed to biblical worldview training for many people at a very reasonable price, has now launched the Worldview Weekend Online Academy. It's only $149. We even offer a family rate and a group rate that gets the tuition down as low as $75 a student. This is a wonderful course for not only a family, but for a homeschool co-op, Christian school, Sunday school classes. In fact, church youth groups, I believe, should send all their kids through this training. If you want to take it as an individual, you can do that as well. It's for students or adults. Full details, and you can demo the course at worldviewweekend.com/academy. worldviewweekend.com/academy. Again, worldviewweekend.com/academy. The Worldview Weekend Online Academy is now online. Hello, I'm Brandon House, and I want to invite you to become a Biblical Worldview Weekend instructor. For the last couple of years, we've offered our Worldview Weekend Teacher Training Institute live in person in Memphis, Tennessee. Over 500 people have taken that class.
However, due to the cost of hotel and transportation added to the cost of the class, it was just financially impossible for some people to afford it. Therefore, we've now placed it online, making it much more affordable. If you want to become a Biblical Worldview Weekend instructor, the website is simply worldviewweekend.com/online training. That's worldviewweekend.com/online training. Take the 25 hours of training by watching a video in one window and filling out a worksheet in the other. And upon completion of the Training Institute online, we'll send you the three-ring binder of the curriculum, Put Your Beliefs to the Test. It includes student worksheets, leader's notes, PowerPoint, and video clips. You'll also, as an alumni, have the right to purchase our next set of curriculum coming out, which includes Grave Influence. And then after that, the curriculum, Religious Trojan Horse. I hope you'll consider, and prayerfully consider, becoming a Biblical Worldview Weekend instructor by taking our class online at worldviewweekend.com/online training. We have all the information there for you, including the opportunity for you to sample the online training. worldviewweekend.com/online training. Welcome back to the program. Lines are lighting up here for people to ask Dr. John. Let's go to our first call. Let's go to line one. Mark is calling in. Mark, thank you for calling in, sir. Go right ahead.
How does one fit 3 days and three nights between a Good Friday and an Easter Sunday?
All right.
Good question. Amazingly, the Jewish way of counting days was somewhat different than our way of counting days. You know, Queen Esther said, you fast for me 3 days and three nights. But on the third day, not the fourth, she went into the king. And so when Jesus died on the cross that Friday afternoon, that's day one, even though it was only part of the day was left, okay? Saturday, a full day, that's day number two. Sunday, the third day,